Good evening. Goeienaand. Good evening, everybody. And this long weekend. It's great to have some of you here. And the rest also here. Hello. You're all looking fresh like you're on a holiday. It's great to be at church tonight. And we're very excited because God is here. We've come here to worship Him. We've come here to say how big He is because He's the lover of our souls. And there's no one like Him. Would you agree with me? I don't know about you, but I'm very excited to be here tonight because the Holy Spirit has already started to work in our lives. And when we worship God, it's like the only place where we can really see who we are is when we first look into the eyes of the one who's created us. The awesome, most powerful, magnificent, majestic, fantastic, whatever, fabulous, whatever word you want to say, there's not enough words that can describe God's greatness. That's why we're here tonight, to meet with that God. Are you ready? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight that we are not here by man's appointment. And Lord, though some of us have come here because it's just like what we do on a Sunday, thank you that you're about to surprise us because your word, Lord, is eternal. And Lord, thank you that you've written eternity in our hearts and that we can surrender and submit ourselves to your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And Lord, we're not here because we want a form of godliness. We're here, Lord, because you're a living God. Jesus, you're the Christ, you're the risen Lord. Holy Spirit, you're the freshness and the fragrance of God in our midst. And we pray, Lord, that you will set us free so that we can walk in your complete liberty tonight. And we thank you as children, Lord. We're not slaves here tonight. We're not here in bondage, God. We are here to worship a living God. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you walk the aisles, Lord. You walk through these chairs. And Lord, as you started to touch us, Lord, that you'll heal, you'll deliver, you'll set us free. But especially, Lord, with your truth tonight, so that we can see you. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, because we are hungry and we are thirsty for you alone. There is no one like you, Lord. None thing, nothing in this world can satisfy us except you and your presence in our lives. So, Lord, we submit ourselves. And, Lord, we just take authority over everything that stands in the way of you being glorified here tonight. And that's me included, Lord. Because I'm subject to your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Okay, shake somebody next to you and say, we are going somewhere tonight, and you better be ready. That was just a moment to get to my slides. We all know it's a public holiday tomorrow, so I'm going to use it as an excuse to make this service very long. So if you're visiting us, we're going to still worship God a little bit later. And I just came from Malawi for a pastor's conference there. And it was lekker because there no sermons are like shorter than 4 hours. So 10 o'clock tonight. Close the doors, lock the doors. Nobody's going to go. And it's amazing. This one guy preached a sermon on one verse for 2.5 hours. Just like, Lord, feed my sheep. He couldn't get to, Lord, tend my lambs. He said, it's too much. There's the one verse. I enjoyed it so much. And but I'm going to talk about living supernaturally natural in the presence of God. Okay? Living supernaturally natural in the presence of God. I'm going to talk about the presence of God tonight. And you know, one of the most valuable things to us as Christians is the fact that God speaks to us. One of the most amazing things is that we can be in partnership with this almighty living God. And He's like the creator of the universe. He can just like go like, ting, there you go. He can just like wipe out the earth in one moment. He can just think it, then it will happen. And yet that God decided to have a relationship with you and I and to reveal Himself to us when we come to Him. And so we're going to talk about His presence. The most, probably one of the most valuable things that you can have is the voice of God and the presence of God in your life. And that's why Moses said, Lord, to know you, your presence is my exceedingly great reward. Not just great, not just nice reward. He said, my exceedingly great reward. Say, exceedingly great reward. And yet in the West, what we do is many times we take it for granted that God speaks to us and that we've got His Spirit inside of us. So we're going to look at three things, but I'm going to start with a scripture in John chapter 5, verse 19. Would you read it with me? John chapter 5, verse 19. Most assuredly. Now when scripture says most assuredly, it says by a definitive so. Okay? Most assuredly. Not little assuredly. He says most assuredly. So Jesus is quite adamant and clear about what He's going to say. He says, you better take attention. Note what I say. I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. A relationship that Jesus had with God the Father, beautiful relationship. But He says, I do nothing if I don't see the Father do it. I'm walking in His presence. I've got a lifestyle of connecting with God the Father. And it's not like I'm on my own mission trying to prove something to Him that I'm His son, or trying to prove something to Him that I'm valuable enough. Or what. No, He's already said. And that's so beautiful about the life of Jesus. When He gets baptized, God the Father opens the heavens and says, you are my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus has not led one person to Christ. He's not healed one person to that day. And suddenly God the Father opens up the heavens and says, you are my Son, I am well pleased in you. And that's what God is saying to you tonight. He's saying it to me. Before you do anything, before you pray, before you fast, before you do anything spiritual for Him, God is already pleased. Why? Because He looks at you and I through the eyes and through the finished work of Christ. And that's what just the beauty of being a child of God. Having a freedom to come to Him. So that being place. And we see this relationship between Jesus and the Father. It's almost like monkey see, monkey do. Okay, God, what are you doing? Okay, I'm going to do that. Just looking at the Father, I had specific eyes to see what God the Father is doing. And the moment when God the Father sees that or He does that, then we just move, we react. And that's exactly the same relationship that and the freedom that God wants each one of us to move in when it comes to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking mainly about that tonight, the presence of God in our lives. Are you with me? Okay, thank you very much for that. All your excitement. We're just busy warming up, so I'm trusting you can get there soon. But when Scripture talks about God's presence, it says that God is omnipresent. Say omnipresent. Omnipresent means very simply that God is everywhere at the same time, at the same place, all over the place, every time, everywhere, not limited by time. Okay? So that means that if you and I are sitting here tonight and we are worshiping God and you speak a little mystery in your heart, you say, Lord, I don't feel like I can actually be here. I don't feel like worthy to worship you tonight. Somebody else in China, one of the 130 million Christians in China, somebody else there in a worship service may say, Lord, I don't feel like really worshiping you, and I don't feel like very spiritual tonight, but I'm here. So, and then God has got 100% attention on him and on you in this service and that other person sitting on the other side of the globe, because he's omnipresent. Can you figure that out? Can you? No, no, you can't. You know, when you and I think about it, your brain starts to like, okay. Just means that there's lots of space in God's heart and his mind for you and for all your thoughts and all your stuff and all your worries and all your successes and everything else. He just knows everything. But that means while you are here, he's there, he's everywhere. And you and I need to know that brings a freedom that Christians will never be lonely. Jesus said it. He said it a couple of times. Look here, I will be with you even to the end of the age. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. So it doesn't matter what happens to you, I'm going to be there. Watch out. And yet many times because of circumstances in the world that we live in, we sort of get trapped. Because the flesh and the world and the systems and the things that hold us back. But that's why I love going up into Africa. Not that we're not in Africa here. But some of our black brothers and sisters up there, they don't need a musical instrument to worship God. They come there and then they start to sing. And then they sing that same song over and over. And they sing it again and again. And after the 30th time, they sing it for the 31st, first and fourth time. And they go on and go on and they just get into the moment, because for them it's not like there's a natural world here and a spiritual world over there. When I come to church, I'm spiritual. And when I'm busy during the rest of the day, I'm very natural. There's no natural spiritual, no dualism. And that is so amazing when you connect with other Christians all across the world and you begin to hear they're saying the same thing. Because why? The Holy Spirit is moving all across the world. God is omnipresent. God is at work. And then you speak to those pastors and you see, well, exactly what God has been preaching here and what God has been saying here, He said it there. It's like you're almost in the same service and you realize, Mechuna, I'm on the other side of the continent. And God is speaking exactly the same stuff, doing the same stuff in their hearts, doing... And you think, well, too far? No. No coincidence. Somebody said it once, has it occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Has it occurred to you that God is never taken by surprise? So here comes Pity, does his sin, and then we think like, oh, God is going to like, oh, Pity, you contaminated me today. Angel, remove him from my presence. Filthy. And that cherubim then covers the face of God. The red alarm clock, everything goes off in heaven because there's a surprise. There's sin in the camp. And then God says, oh, my plans are not going far. Oh, plan B, plan B. Do you know God has got no plan B? He's only got one plan. And His purposes are marching forth, and you and I can be partakers of that. And that's why God is at work all across the world. Let me read you some scriptures in Psalm 139, verse 7. Listen to what David says. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? He says, God, even if I want to run away, I can't. Because you're everywhere. Isaiah 6, verse 3. We read it a couple of weeks ago. Where the angels say that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. The whole earth. God is everywhere. God is doing amazing things. And He says, the angels proclaim it. They say, the whole earth is full of His glory. Whoa. God is going to heal some people here tonight. Especially broken people. There's a special anointing to people that are broken and you're tired and you, in a sense, you feel, there's some people that feel very vulnerable here tonight. And I just want to say to you, you're going to be okay tonight. Because God says it. And you're going to be healed tonight. Because you're going to understand what His presence does. You don't need a prayer to change you. It's the presence of God. And His love for you. His desire to wrap Himself around you. So you just open up your heart. And while we're busy with these scriptures, you just take it, drink it, eat it. Say, God, that's mine. I want to be healed tonight. And God is going to do it, not at an altar call at the end, right now. Just where you're sitting. And just open up your heart. Trust Him. Because He's already at moving and working here. Romans 8, verse 38. Beautiful. It says there. For I am persuaded. Say persuaded. You see, when I'm persuaded or I'm convinced, then I know it's a fact. If somebody comes to you and they say, I am persuaded. Then it means you cannot persuade them. Especially us men. With those words, I am sorry. It's very difficult to say, men. But start to practice. You're going to get married one day. Sorry. For I'm persuaded. Not sorry for the marriage. You just need to practice. Sorry. It's great to be married. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. This is actually a good scripture to read together. Let's read. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you read that scripture, you'll find out there's one thing there that's not covered. And that is the one thing that the devil hammers on the most many times. Do You know what it is? Your past. It doesn't say, nor things past, present, and things to come. And so the devil is like an accuser. And he comes in and he wants to make everything negative. But yet scripture says that I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing. And that's why God wants to set us free. And sometimes we must forget about our past. Some of you are young and you have got your whole life in front of you. And now what you do is you remind yourself of all the nonsense that you did in your past life or your BC life or whatever. And so that you're going to focus on that, and the devil wants you to focus on that. Always tell you, you're never going to be ready. You're never going to be perfect because, you know, maybe sometime that when your life is sorted out. Well, if you're like 20 years old, do you know what you do? You've got another 60 to live. So take that 60 and say, I'm going to make the most of it. Hello? I'm going to stop letting the devil hammer me over the head of how bad I am all the time. Because God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for your heart. He's looking right into your heart tonight, in my heart. He says, come. Just open up your heart. Beautiful scripture in Romans chapter 8. You see, that's God's omnipresent. God is present everywhere. And God is at move. God is at work. God is doing amazing stuff. And you and I have got the ability to connect with God and even to connect into a realm of tomorrow and of what's going to happen in 3 years' time. And that's why when you can see, you know, when he started to go up to Malawi, the Lord just dropped something in my spirit and said, America is next. I'm thinking, oh, why that? And when we got back, when we sat there in the spur of all places, I own part of the spur. If you've got a family, you own part of the spur. But in any case, when we sat there, we saw on the TV of the natural disasters that started there this week. And then it's so amazing to know that when God speaks to you, he knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and that's why you can trust him. And that's why many times we cannot trust ourselves or our past, because God knows. And when we surrender to him, he makes all things work together for good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. And so that is God's presence. God is not limited just to now. He's also omnipotent. And scripture also says he's omniscient, meaning that God knows what's going to happen in 3 years' time. He knows what's going to happen in 30 years' time, to the day, to the minute, to the second. Wow, what a God. How can we not trust him? So sometimes he makes decisions that you don't feel good about because you say, oh, my khuna. Khuna machantas. God, why don't you give this to me now? And then people get offended because they've got wrong expectations of God, but they don't know that God sees the whole picture. And when God works in your life, it's always an eternal work. I'm going to say it very slowly. When God works in your life, he's always got eternity in mind. Never not just the now. So he finishes, he does stuff in our lives that sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been there, you come out, God deals with you in certain areas, and then you haven't got a clue what happened. You just know, like you were standing there on the N1 and the truck drove over you. And you know when you come up, you're different. You speak different, you feel different, and you like have got a high-pitched voice. You know? It's like, you know, you just had a mad truck drive all over you. How many of you have had experiences like that? Not standing on the N1, God dealing with us, okay? But it's amazing when God does a work. Sometimes we haven't got a clue. Now we try to figure out. Now we say, oh, Lord, I must have at least 3 sabbaticals to try and find out what you did there. No, just let him be the physician. Let him do in our lives and through our lives. All he needs from us is just a surrender. Just a hunger and a thirst for him to see him and look him in the eyes. The second thing that we're going to focus on when it talks about the presence of God, when scripture talks about the presence, it's God's indwelling presence. Say indwelling presence. John chapter 15 verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Not just abide in me, it says abide in me. When you abide in me, I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And I love this part. For without me, you can do nothing. What a statement. For without me, you can do nothing. Indian version. Nothing. Doesn't matter where you go, nothing, okay? You can do nothing without God. Nothing that is purposeful, nothing that is significant. And yet many times as Christians, you know, especially when you're young, what we do is we run for success. God has never called us to be successful because success is not a word that you find in the Bible. God has called us to overcome and God has called us to be significant, but he's never called us to be successful. Think about that one. Because sometimes we run for success and then we heap up for ourselves treasures and we do all that stuff trying to be successful through what we do. God says, be significant. Do my will. And when you abide in me, you will bear fruit and much fruit. It's about a connection with God. It's about a place in his presence. It's about an indwelling place. I think it was John G. Lake, I can't remember who it was. The reporter was once walking with him across the street. And cars came and all that stuff. And he, in the middle of the street, he stopped with his Bible under his arm. And then the reporter, when they went over the road on the other side, the reporter said to him, oh, what happened there? You put our life in danger. And then he said, for one moment, I lost contact with God. And I had to restore it right there. That makes you feel unsaved, eh? I feel like that every time I say that, speak that story. Okay. But it's very simply, it says, without me, you can do nothing. And when you go and get a branch from out here, one of the trees, you'll see you don't actually know where the beginning and the end of that branch is. You just know the branch is connected to the vine. There's not a beginning point and an end point. They're connected. And that's that beautiful picture that God gives us when we walk with him and when we surrender to him. And we live in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you? You're the tabernacle of God. That's the same word that was used in John 1, verse 14 and 17, when it says, Jesus came, he lived amongst us, and he came to dwell, tabernacle amongst us. Scripture says in Ephesians that is the greatest mystery ever, is the fact that this Almighty God will come to live inside of you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when you understand that when you're walking around, you're not your own possession anymore, because suddenly Jesus has come to make his habitation, his dwelling place inside of you, inside of your life. He's come to take control of your life and he's living inside of you. Then it doesn't matter what happens around you. The King is in you. Jesus lives inside of you. And that is such an amazing thing when you understand that the Holy Spirit comes and he comes to bring you into a place where your body becomes a temple, and that's why you don't own your body. That's why Scripture says when you commit sexual sin, it's not like it's different from other sin except for one thing. You sin against yourself. You sin against your own body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why sexual sin is so destructive. That's why sleeping around before marriage is so destructive. It's not about because it's just sin. It's just because very simply you are committing something against the temple of God. And you're bringing a veil over your life so that the Holy Spirit cannot walk and move freely. And it's very simply, there's freedom for that. But you need to understand, that's why God calls us to be holy, separate from the world. Holiness. Hello. Okay, so some things happen in our lives that God promises when we've got, understand that we've got the indwelling Spirit. So first we spoke about omnipresence, God's presence everywhere. Now we're talking about God's presence in your life, in your heart, the indwelling presence of God. The first thing is that you'll understand is that you'll have a joy. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. Say fullness of joy. Beautiful. It says there's like a joy when you move with God. There's a joy when you come into his presence. And then at his right hand, it says, Scripture says, there are pleasures forevermore. I think my bril so vuil gevat, dat julle allemaal spooky like. Oeh, nou lyk julle nog meer spooky. Hello. I just got distracted there for a moment. But that's at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's just like, God, when I look at you, you're just a good God. You're an amazing God. And I can open up my heart. There are pleasures. God is not like, let's think whether they've been good this weekend. It's been a long weekend. Slept late. Didn't do their quiet time. Oh, my God. No. Says in his presence, the moment when you come into God's presence, the moment when you just acknowledge and you draw near to him, Scripture says he draws near to you. God cannot get contaminated by your sin. God doesn't freak out and throw a tantrum when you do stuff wrong. Why? Because he's God. Hello. The second thing that happens when we understand the indwelling presence of God is the kingdom of God happens in and through our lives. Luke 17:21 says, for indeed the kingdom is where? Point to the kingdom. Show me the kingdom in your life. Where is the kingdom? Come on. Point to the kingdom in the person next to your life. He says the kingdom is within you. Because some people said, Lord, where is the kingdom? Some said, yeah, some say that. Very simply, the kingdom is where the king rules and where he reigns in your life. That's where the kingdom is. So forget about all the books that speak about all the deep things and the deep revelations of the kingdom. No, very simply, the kingdom is inside of you. When you understand Christ inside of you, that same Jesus, that same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you, dwells in you. And you know what? He wants to get out. I love what these Bethel people say. They say you must leak Jesus. You must contaminate the world with Jesus. You must be like a bad virus and a bad rash all over people. Hello? Romans 14 verse 7 says, the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in your natural life. The kingdom is like righteousness, peace, and joy when you try to behave yourself. Where's the kingdom? Where's this righteousness, peace, and joy? In a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom comes in this intimacy with God, the Holy Spirit. And I want to just say again tonight, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a mist. It's not a flaky thing that happens and does spooky stuff and weird stuff. The Holy Spirit, like with Jesus, becomes your best friend because you can trust him and you surrender to him. So when you wake up in the morning, acknowledge him. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you that you've been here all night while I've been sleeping, snoring, whatever you do in sleep. Some people like sleepwalk or whatever you do. Just he's been there. And he's right there. And the moment when you acknowledge him, the moment when you consecrate yourself to him, he can work in your life and through your life. But otherwise, it's just like good wallpaper. Just like a good mirror on the wall. Somewhere out there. And people, in the last days that we are living, Scripture is very clear. It says there are some people that are foolish and some people that are wise. Some people that are going to make it in the last days and some people not. It's called foolish and wise virgins. And some of them has got their little oil lamp full, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. And some of them don't. Both of these groups know the voice of the bridegroom that is coming. But the one does not make it in time. Why? Because they don't have their lamps full. That's not what I say. That is what Scripture says. We cannot make it through formulas and regulations and religion in the last days because there are lots of things that's going to happen that we don't know. You look at it and you think, is this from God? Is it not? And then the only thing that will keep you out of deception is your love for the Word and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because that's where righteousness comes from. Righteousness is a position before God. It's a position that Jesus places you in. It's a righteousness. He gave us his own righteousness. But then it says that joy and peace, that it doesn't matter what happens around you, whether there's earthquakes or whatever comes, you know, I don't know. Let me not look at who's all the sinners in the house. How many people here watch this royal wedding on Friday? All the ladies. Oh, there's some guys as well. The Lord bless you. You just didn't have anything to do on Friday. When was it Friday? But I've got two girls, so my second girl, you know, the boy just plays around with the cars. He hasn't got anything except the car. He watched the old car driving the queen or whatever. That was exciting for him, and the rest was like nothing. The girls were sitting there like, she just couldn't figure out why he didn't kiss her in the church. And only had to wait till very later. But in any case, so people think different. But you know, you can look at this royal show and this amazing stuff. You know, and the guy on the TV apparently said, oh, this is really what the world is looking for. Just some hope in troubled times. They need a fairy tale story. No, people don't need that. Would you agree with me? Because do you know what the world did on Friday? The world worshiped. Because people in the world are looking for royalty. They're looking for the presence of God. And that's why the whole world is like going mad about that wedding. There's something about that royalty and that stuff which is beautiful. Because we as people have been made to connect with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit. So Friday afternoon we did Rian's wedding. And it was amazing. Rian and Mina. Guy normally gets married to a wife as well, okay? So Rian and Mina. And at 2 o'clock it was like raining. But the Lord gave him a word and said to him, you're going to have your wedding in the open, under the tree, between the olive trees. Everybody else said, you're mad. But you know what? He heard the voice of God, because 2:30, the skies opened up. Beautiful sunshine for the rest of the afternoon. Because somebody heard the voice of God. What a testimony to all the people there. You're mad. No. You can hear everybody say, this guy's mad. It's going to rain, all this stuff. But he just said, some of his friends came together and said, this is God's plan. Do you know there was something much more glorious in the afternoon's wedding than in the morning's wedding? Because the presence of God was there. You could tangibly feel it. And the kingdom of God came. You see, we've got something that the world is waiting for. It's longing for. Is an experience with the presence of God. And that's why when you go, wherever you go, the kingdom goes. Don't come to a place and say, oh Lord, what's happening? No, when you go to a place, because the king is ruling in your heart, the kingdom will come there. Hello? Because the king rules in your heart, when you go into a place, doesn't matter how dark it is, how bad it is, what the circumstances, and when you walk into that place, the light overpowers and overshadows darkness every time. Have you ever seen in your life, just think about it logically, have you ever thought of light and darkness coming and mixing and then the darkness overpowering the light? No, it cannot. Light always overpowers darkness. And that's the beautiful thing about the kingdom inside of you, that Jesus that lives inside of you, the Holy Spirit that is on your life. I love the word for the Holy Spirit. It's called the seal, the erebon, the down payment, the deposit of things to come. So when we think of this awesome Holy Spirit and what He is doing, then God says it's only 10%. It's only a little. It's only a down payment, an engagement. It's an engagement. How is that for a good Afrikaans word, eh? Engagement. It's an engagement. It's like you're saying, when that, you know, ladies, when that man puts that ring on your finger, you worship differently. You come into church and it's just, you get the scriptures, the rock of all ages, you know. It's written, I'm written on the palm of his hands, you know. The bright morning star. But you know what? It's amazing. And let me say this very straight to us. In the charismatic church, what has happened many times is that people like you look to people like me to replace the presence and the voice of God in your life. And there is nothing and nobody. I am not your priest. I am not your prophet. I am just an ordinary man serving an almighty God. And yes, there's rank and there's order and there's responsibility in the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you, there is nothing that can replace the voice of God in your life and intimacy that you have with God and the Holy Spirit yourself. Otherwise, you're going to walk out from this campus and you're going to start working in wherever, and then you're going to discover, well, my khuna, programs gave me like a kickstart. No, it can't. It's only the presence of God. It's the relationship that you have. And that's why you have to discover here that when you go into your studies and you take that books in front of you and you say, Holy Spirit, thank you. You're a helper here. Thank you. Help me in my studies. Holy Spirit, I want to get to know you. I've got a longing and a thirsting because I know I'm not from this world. I'm in this world, but I'm just passing through. And you've been sent here. I love what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you'll receive power. But he also said in John 7, he said, there will be like streams of fountains, fountains of living waters that spring up in your innermost being unto eternal life. What a beautiful picture, just like water gushing forth. And it just springs up into like fountains. And wherever those fountains are, they just creates rivers. There's just water all over the place. It just floods wherever you go. It just floods over its banks. It's just like fresh water from God all the time. That says that he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 to 39. Whoa. You see, you've been sealed. Scripture talks about a seal of promise. So every time God looks at you, he says, that one is sealed. That one is sealed. That one is sealed. There's something coming. There's something coming. People, if we recognize what we have, and that's why the devil wants you to focus on your past and negative stuff, because he doesn't want you to stand up and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4 verse 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when we discover that kingdom and you discover the fullness of the Holy Spirit, things begin to happen. The third thing that happens when you understand God's indwelling presence is there's a freedom to flow in the gifts of God. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, as each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, each one of you sitting here tonight, each one, everyone, starting right here in front, every one of you till right there at the back, everyone, every person in this room has received gifts from God. And Scripture says, according to that measure, just whether it's like DF said, whether it's a fish, whether it's a bread, you just go. You just minister. Because you've been called to do the ministry, not me. I'm here to equip you. And all the other pastors. But see, it's in your hands. And the moment when you begin to wake up and you begin to stand up and say, okay, Lord, I'm somebody. I'm actually a nobody, but I'm a somebody. So, Lord, I want to, according to your grace, be a good steward of what you've given me. Minister to one another, and that's what we're going to do a little bit later tonight. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Desire earnestly. It's not a guy's name. Earnestly. To prophesy. Desire. Scripture says, when you desire something, when you earnestly, when you're seeking it, you say, I'm not going to stop until I find that thing. I'm looking for it. I'm desiring it with all of my heart because when I get there, it's like the greatest treasure. It's like, whoa, it's good for me, but it's also good for the world. And it says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. You know, I'm going to speak very straightforward with us because God has convicted me of this. He said, sometimes we shy away from our inheritance, our spiritual inheritance, and we're so afraid of what people are going to think. I woke up this morning, 5 o'clock, and I couldn't get this little song out of my head. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What a song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The question tonight is, what does your Bible tell you? And when Scripture, when you're going to open up Scripture, you understand and you begin to see a dynamic in which the people lived and moved, by which they moved. That when Peter walks past people, he says, well, silver and gold, I don't have you, but in the name of Jesus, what I have, I'm going to give it away. Scripture says, when you go into a house and somebody receives you, what you can do is you can leave your peace there. You can leave that deposit, that something that God has done in your life. You can walk in there and say, peace be to you.
Well, Scripture says, if they don't receive you, then walk away. Find a house. Find a man of peace. And when you get into that house, then you say, I am blessed because I am here and I'm a blessing from God and I'm leaving my peace here because you've received me. You'll receive a prophet's reward. You know, I love Pastor Henry. Many of you know him. Malawi teams. Where are the Malawi teams? They're here tonight. Oh, they're sitting all over the place here. Going to Pastor Henry. Pastor Henry really did the thank yous at the end of the conference. You can ask, where's Lowe? Somewhere here. There you are. Yeah, now he stands up there and he thanks everybody. And then at the end, he says, I just want to thank Pastor Tembo for organizing everything. And I want to thank myself. And then later on he prayed. He said, Lord, and thank you. Bless the people. Bless all these pastors that have come here because we were like at a pastor's conference. Bless all the pastors. Lord, and bless me. You know, now, ooh, there goes everything, you know, humility, pride, all the, you know, we suddenly start to think about all that stuff, but I just love his childlike faith. He says, God, because I serve you, I expect a blessing. Because when you bless me, I can bless others. It's more freely I've received, so freely I can give. And then there's that childlike faith that wherever he goes, he says, okay, all the single people, I always make him lay hands on the single people. Because then they get married the next year. Ask Johan Skoltz. Where's Johan? Johan is not here tonight. We were at a wedding, at Reino's wedding, and he said, next year, December, you're going to get married. The next year, December, you got married. Okay, who's in line first? But you see, the kingdom of God and the gifts of God. You know, one of the things that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he says, brethren, I pray more in the Spirit than all of you together. Yet in the church, there's an order, there's a place where I understand that things must happen orderly. But so now we throw the baby with the bathwater out and say, no, you're not allowed to sing in the Spirit because you're going to offend people. You're not allowed to be yourself and walk in your spiritual inheritance. But Scripture says when we speak in tongues, it begins to become a sign to unbelievers. When we start to lock into worshiping our God, people are going to start getting healed in our worship. People, limbs are going to grow back. Things are going to supernaturally happen. Why? Because we've got that expectation. When we worship God, the heavens open up and God begins to just be himself. And that's why worship is so powerful, because it's the only place where you can declare who God really is. And the moment when you say, you're my healer, do you know what he does? He heals you. You're my savior, he comes to save you. You're my deliverer, he comes to deliver you right there. And see, people... But there's a dualism, a natural way and a spiritual way. So we think when we go to small group, then we're going to experience God. No, no, you experience God when you wake up in the morning. Whether it's like this little light of mine, I'll never forget it. There's a guy in the London church. He never went to church, all that stuff. He just heard this little song. He woke up one morning. He wasn't saved. He didn't know God. Just with this little song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that song, he couldn't get out of his head for 2 days. That Sunday evening, he committed his life to Christ. There was obviously a grandmama praying for him somewhere. So, Lord, deal with him. Convict him. You know? So the presence of God was all over. Do you know, I pray differently these days. When I see somebody that doesn't know God, I say, God, lift the veils. Let them see you. But let them dream dreams. Lord, appear to them. Show them who you are. Because when you go to India and these places, you understand everybody there has had an appearance of Jesus. Because there's a supernatural reality, a supernatural inheritance that you and I can move in. There's a kingdom coming every day. And there are gifts that we must operate in. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is those by reason of use, say reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the more you go to the gym, the more you practice, the more things happen. By reason of use. You grow spiritually. Not by reason of receiving. Reason of thinking how it must work. Reason of wanting a deposit from heaven to fall on you and then you're going to know everything. No scripture. Just what have you got in your hand and start using it. And that's the most amazing thing I want to say to everybody here. You've got something that God has given you. And give it away. Because when you give it away, you're going to receive something more. That's the only way that you grow. Give it away. Serve somewhere. Lead somebody. Do something. Worship God. I'll never forget it, that first trance party that we went to. We stood there and there was this tent of ours, and nobody came there. And we thought, oh, okay. They're obviously not interested in our tent, but in any case. Then God said to us, just go and worship Him in the Spirit. We walked about 20 meters off, started to worship. Just in the Spirit. We just sang in tongues. The next moment, people flooded the place. I was standing, I was thinking, half of us had to stop our prayer and worship and go and help because of all the people that just flooded there. Because Scripture says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself. And that was such an amazing teaching moment for me because I realized, you know, sometimes we try so much in the natural to do stuff and persuade people, but there's a supernatural reality. And you start to pray, you start to lose. If God has done something in your life, you go and do it. So if God has healed you in that area from depression, do you know what? You've got a capacity to see God heal other people that are depressed. And you just go and lay hands on them. Just ask them first and know their name first, okay? But there's some stuff that we must give away, and that's why Scripture says we must exercise. The last one, when we talk about the indwelling presence of God. Are you still with me tonight? Okay? Is the character of Jesus starts to manifest in our lives. And it is so important that we understand this, that it's not just about the gifts and the supernatural, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit starts to manifest through us. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, goodness, self-control, kindness. Gifts are given, but fruits are grown, we always say. So just as the supernatural manifests in your life, God is also interested in the character of your life. They must grow together. And that is so beautiful when you start to realize Christ inside of you and you abiding in Christ and He comes to live inside you. You in Jesus and Jesus in you. There's such a partnership. There's such a place where God just starts to overflow. You walk with the Holy Spirit and you start to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest through your life. And the greatest compliment that somebody can ever give you on the face of this earth is something very simple. You, have I met you somewhere? No. You remind me of somebody. You remind me of somebody. Have I met you somewhere? No. Do you know what? You remind me of Jesus. The guy that I read about in that thick black book. You must be one of His followers. That's the greatest compliment. When we start to manifest the fruit of God. Because this world is running, and Scripture says, even the love of many will grow cold. But He who overcomes. There's the character of Christ. Where you shake somebody next to you and say, Hona machantas. Okay, we must rush. Let's pick up some speed. The last thing that I want to focus on very quickly tonight. We've got God's omnipresence. We've got God's indwelling presence in your life. And then we've got God's manifest presence. John chapter 14, Jesus says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. The literal means I will put myself on display before him. God's tangible presence. I love the Afrikaans. It's God's tastbare teenwoordigheid. I will manifest myself to him. Sometimes you get into a meeting and then suddenly you realize God is here. You just feel like, shh. The kids get quiet. They don't scream. Whatever. Everybody knows that the presence of God, His manifest presence is here. You can actually feel it physically. Some people say that they've smelled God's presence. They can actually, their natural senses respond to the presence of God. And it's all over Scripture. Right from the beginning in 2 Chronicles, you can look at those examples there. When the temple was dedicated, Scripture says that the whole place was filled with smoke. God actually started to manifest Himself. God started to show Himself. Saul on the road of Damascus, we see these supernatural experiences. Moses, who was transformed by just meeting with God, looking Him in the eyes and say, he had to put a veil over Him, otherwise the people would have dropped dead. Jesus was transfigured. Trying to figure that one out, eh? On the mountain, glorified. You see, there's a place That scripture says, if you love me, you'll obey me, and then I will manifest myself. So it's based on our obedience, based on following God, and just doing his will in our lives. Suddenly God begins to do stuff that is amazing. He's just, God starts to do things. I told you the story, I think 2 weeks ago, of me standing at the robot and stopping, and then this guy next to me, and I just felt I must pray for him. So in a car next to me. And I said, okay, Lord, touch him. And then he started to weep. I'm still standing at the robot, it's green, and he's gone already, and I'm just thinking. So the next guy stops, I said, Lord, touch him. Touch him. You can almost like zap people, eh? Zap, zap. But you know, we've got the ability to release a piece of God. We've got the ability to release the healing of God because of that King that lives inside of us. But you see, there comes a place when you understand it's not God's commandments and his formula. It's just about a holiness. It's about a separate way of living, a consecratedness, a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. And I must say to you honestly, I don't believe that the charismatic church today that includes us are really spirit-filled. I think we're baptized and we can speak in tongues, but I don't think we're spirit-filled, full of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the world will come running to us like at Pentecost. So what wind has been there in Bloemhof? Did you see Bloemhof's walls shake? The hair looks different when they've been in those meetings. Scripture says, like a mighty rushing wind. Just imagine. You know, when you go to the temples there in India, I'll never forget it. One day we walked into this massive temple, and when we walked up, I realized this is a mistake. So we walked up to the temple, we went in, and we couldn't return. When you go in, you have to go right through. It's about 2 kilometers, one of the big Krishna temples there. And as we walked over the threshold, still Frans Hanneman, this tall guy from Elswichte, had walked with me, and the next moment, I couldn't breathe physically. So I just started to pray. I said, okay, Lord, this place obviously has been consecrated to demon spirits and supernatural other powers. That's not your Holy Spirit. And so as we walked around, there's a big auditorium, about 3/4 of this auditorium. And right in front was the altar, the place of worship, and there were lots of gold and all of that stuff, and you had to sort of walk through. And so as we're walking through, I begin to realize that there's a massive wind blowing in the place, and there's just like no windows. Then they started playing the drums. And the wind started to blow more. And I realized, those are demons. Because there's no wind blowing outside. I said to Franz, pray, buddy, pray. He said, I'm already praying. Because now he had to walk through all of this stuff, and I'm just saying, blood of Jesus, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. But you know, even in that place, I could experience the peace of God because I just locked into the Spirit. Said, okay, God, shouldn't have been here. I always tell the story, I think it was in Nepal where this guy came, this priest in this blood sacrificing temples and all that stuff. And we went in there because we were really stupid when we went there the first time because we didn't know that you don't go into those temples. You don't do that stuff. You know, because it's been consecrated. So you can't deconsecrate it. They're going to consecrate it tomorrow morning again. So as we walked up, we walked into the stuff and we looked like, you know, everybody was like walking out very slowly. And then this guy came, this priest with long robes and all that stuff. But the guy really was like, he had some visitors, lots of them. He looked like different, and he just like stared at us, stood at the gate, a Nepalese guy, and he said, so wat maak julle hier? We got the shock of our lives. He wasn't a South African. He spoke in Afrikaans. I'm not saying that Afrikaans is like demonic tongues or anything like that. I'm just saying. But then we just like got out there and we just realized, oh, you know my Khuna, that Khuna Machanta's thing? I said it over and over. It's not like speaking in tongues, it's just like, you know. But it's amazing, you know, there's a spiritual world. And when we look at Europe and what's happening and all this stuff, something says to us, no, we don't have a spiritual inheritance and everything is just natural. But you know, everything we do is spiritual. It's got a spiritual connection. That's why God has given us His Holy Spirit to see and discern and know what's going on. Because of the presence of God in our lives. There's some of you here tonight, you are so afraid that you're going to get deceived. I want to pray for you right now, before you're going to continue with the service. If you are afraid, maybe just have a little bit of fear, because you're going to get deceived. You're always just panicking about getting deceived. I want you to be very bold. Just lift up your hand right where you're sitting. Because I want to tell you tonight, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now over you before we continue. I'm not finished with the sermon, but I just felt right now I must pray for you. Because there's something that drives you that just says you are not going to make it and you are going to get deceived because look at all that stuff. I say to you, the Holy Spirit is faithful in your life. When you just consecrate yourself to Him and you're honest with Him, He's going to lead you because He's the Spirit of truth. So Father, right now, each one of these people that have raised their hands, I break every yoke of slavery. Every lie from the devil that says to them they're not spiritual enough, they're going to get deceived, they're not actually going to make it, but more than that, God, that they're actually not good enough. But I break the yoke of slavery over them in Jesus' name. And tonight, Father, we say it over each one of them because they're following You, they're submitting under Your word, they're submitting in this church, Lord. Thank You for that ability to walk in truth and to know Your truth, to abide in Your truth, and the truth will set them free. Holy Spirit, show this to them, I pray, in the next week. What it means, Lord, to abide in Your word and to abide in truth. Thank You, Lord. We cancel that lie in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. You see, there's a manifest presence of God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. I love this scripture. Like all the other 3,000 in the Bible, or even more. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, when you connect with God, when you connect in that intimacy with Him, there's a daily walk of surrender. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Always, through all things, give thanks to Jesus Christ, to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful place. Of continual yielding and yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. A freedom. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's a liberty. But especially this speaks in the context of a liberty of formulas, rules, regulations. Because you must do 30 stuff to be able to hear the voice of God. Now the Holy Spirit becomes your friend. And He's a person that you invite into your life. And people, as the charismatic world, we've thrown away our spiritual inheritance. Because we look to formulas and we're just as religious as the rest of the people because it's easier to follow a group and a lot of formulas than to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say to you, God is faithful. He wants to show Himself to you and to me because when we draw near to Him, James 4, He will draw near to us. And I'm sharing something very simply because sometimes what we do wrong is we go for the manifest presence. We want to feel God. And then you shouldn't do that. Just look to His heart. Look Him in the eyes. Worship Him. Say, Holy Spirit, put a song in my heart. The last 3 weeks, every morning when I wake up, I've got a different song. Sometimes one of these golden oldies. I think, where on earth did that one come from? And then some of these funky ones on our CD. Yeah? But the one thing that's different is just very simply, they're all drawing me to Jesus. They're drawing me to the cross to surrender to Him. And that's why if you can make it next Sunday, please be there. We're going to just worship God. There's something spiritual that's going to happen. Not because it's a program or whatever, or because we've got nice songs. But because we're going to just consecrate it to God and say, Holy Spirit, You take this thing. It's a church thing. It's our worship. Not to make money, not to do this, not to be famous, but to make Jesus famous. Because the world is waiting for the cross. Is there anybody here that hasn't got a lift next Sunday and you want a lift? Raise your hand quickly. Okay, there's a lady, two people. Who can give them a lift? There, at the back there. Quickly stand up and go and meet that lady there. She can give you a lift. The two of you. Just stand up, go there. She'd love to give you a lift. Have you got a lift here? Oh, wonderful. The Lord provides right there next to you. Thank you for your openness. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Anybody else that needs a lift? Yeah, some of our friends here. How can they stay here and we're going there? Yeah? Come here quickly. You two, at the back there. Come, run. Yes, some beautiful people in front here. Come. We're just connecting people to each other. Okay, just show them. Anybody else that needs a lift? Do you need a lift? Oh, you can help them. No, but they're making these new friendships happening here. You know them, but you can ask these ladies in front here. Okay, Eduard Vaso. Is anybody else that needs a lift? Okay. We'll send two angels to you. You can drive with the two angels to Hillcrest. Anybody else that needs a lift? Okay, wonderful. That's settled. Okay, so everybody's going to be there. Wonderful. And we're going to experience God together. But you know what? There's something that God wants to do in your heart tonight. And sometimes what we do, you know, is because of the hardness and because of stuff that has happened in the past, what the devil reminds us of so often, it's difficult for us to trust and just open up to the Holy Spirit. Because you say, well, how do I do it? How do I? Well, you just get to know the Holy Spirit as a person. Say, God, I thank you for your manifest presence, but I thank you for your indwelling presence, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When that depression wants to hit you, you say, no, because Jesus inside of me is greater than you coming to bring your nonsense in my life. There's an overcomer, and I'm an overcomer. And I want to encourage us today that in the times that we're living in, we're going to see God do the most amazing things. We're going to see him experience speaking his voice. Because do you know what people out there, they're not looking for church. They're not looking for a little program. They're looking for the voice of God. People are worshiping the royal family and all that stuff. And everybody's sitting there. People came to camp there apparently Tuesday already, sat there. Thinking, oh my God, we're going to see something. And then it's just like the kutz just drives past. Just like 20 seconds. Just like, shee. Woo. Wave their flags. Like 30 seconds. There it goes. Wait for an hour, service finished. Here comes the kutz. What's the kutz? Parakar. The couch. Couch. Yeah, man, that's couch, potato, couch, stuff that we sit on. Coach. The coach, is that the right word? Thanks for the English people. The couch. So the couch came past. And everybody claps and everybody's excited, like, for 30 seconds. And I'm thinking, have you got a life? Sitting there for 3 days and people fly over to that place because they want to have something euphoria. Oh, people are hungry to worship God and experience his presence. And you're the answer. Because he's living inside of you. Don't say here and there is the kingdom of God. It's inside of you. And once you embrace that intimacy with God, once you start to say, God, I want more of you. I'm hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Oh, God begins to do that stuff in your life and through your life. What's your name? Yes. Justin. Where do you come from, Justin? Yeah, do you serve? Oh. Well, that's all right. You're forgiven. Justin, I just sense that God says you've got a pure heart and you're a lover of truth. And search for that truth. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. You're like a warrior for him and you must stand up straight, but don't do it alone. Don't fight alone. God is going to raise up people around you. Some of them are sitting here next to you. But you begin to seek for that truth from a young age. You've been loving truth. You just want to know the truth. And that truth is a person. It's Jesus. Not things, not doctrine. It's a person. Jesus Christ. And running to him every day. Say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I want to have a blutinous. Do you know what that means? No. A bloody nose. just like, ka-twa. He said, Lord, do it again, ka-twa. Transform me, make me new. Justin, you're a lover of truth. There's a lady here. Where are you sitting? Right there. What's your name? Yes, that one. Oh, me. What's your name? KK. You, what does that mean? Addition. Yeah. You've been added. Yeah. I just felt God said over your life that you've got just like natural joy and spontaneity and things. But the Lord says He wants to show you stuff, the mysteries of God. And as you just surrender to Him, you just open up your heart, He's going to reveal Himself to you in ways that is just going to be so profound that your joy will be full. That you don't need to run to places and things and people to fulfill that joy. You don't need a happening. There's somebody here sitting on this side. You know that you've been called to the full-time ministry to serve God, and you've been running away. That's a bit tough. Where are you? Quickly, where are you? You know that God has called you, and tonight He wants to say that seal is upon you. Stop running. Is that you? Come here quickly. I don't want to embarrass you. Father, I pray that You'll heal him physically, even as he comes. But do something in his heart, Lord. Father, we just thank You right now for just Your call, and we pray that You'll set him free of all the strongholds, Lord, that has been binding him for so many years. But we thank You tonight, Lord, as his heart is beating, Lord, You're bringing him just to that place of complete surrender. We thank You for Your love all over him, Lord. Just come and wash over him, Father. The running stops tonight, Father. And we just thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your fullness of life. Thank You, God. And Lord, we just break every yoke, Lord, of the demonic, Lord, that has tried to rob him from that fullness of life tonight. We say, let him go, Satan. Let him go in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank You for the call on his life. And we just release that tonight in Jesus' name. You just continue praying for him. God never embarrasses anybody. Amen. Father, we just thank You for Your freedom right now. Right where you sit. You see, when God starts to move, when God speaks His life over us, the voice of God is like the most precious thing in your life. When you can go to somebody, you can say, wow. Not in presumption. Not being there, too many people running around and says, God says this, and they prophesy dates and mates and babies and all that stuff, and then it doesn't come to pass. I love what happened in the Old Testament. People were stoned when the prophecy didn't come to pass. It's nothing, got nothing to do with drugs. It's like stoned, like, psh, psh. That's just a joke. But I really want to tell you that God wants to set you free. Johan. You know, God loves you. There's a great call on your life. And all you need to do is put your hand to the plow. Scripture says that when we put our hand to the plow and we look back, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. It's your season to put your hand on the plow. And then you look forward, we follow Jesus. This is like a wobbly season in your life. Many stuff going on in your life. But the Lord says there's a great call on your life. Don't look back. Follow Him. 100%. Everything He's going to give you the ability. And as you step out, people around you are going to begin to step out. You're the man of peace. You know what I'm talking about. You just follow Him. You just surrender. Don't run away. There's some people here that's running away from that call of God on your life. And the Lord wants to say to you tonight, that He still stands and He's going to give you 300 opportunities. But do not harden your heart. What is your name at the back there? Sir, with a blue shirt on with a little white stripe. See Afrikaans? Yeah. Sorry? Brimmer. Brimmer, waar kom jy vandaan? Stellenbosch. Jy groot geword. Okay, swat jy hierso bring my. Speel jy rugby. Okay. Ek voel die Here het 'n baie spesifieke roeping op jou lewe. En dis is die Here wys my 'n prentjie van 'n boot wat vaar. En het maak nie saak wat se storms is, die God het vir jou die gawe van geloof gegee. Hou die kompas op noord. Maak nie saak wat se storms nou om jou is, wat aangaan nie. Die Here sê as jy op hom fokus, gaan hy geloof losmaak in jou hart. Dis meer as net 'n gewone geloof. It's not just an ordinary faith. It's a gift of faith. And some people are going to tell you, no, you just go with the crowd. You just be ordinary. Jy doen net dit en doen net dit. Want mense wil hê jy moet conform en wees soos wat hulle is. Maar moet nie val af voor nie. Want as God ons roep, soos vir Petrus geroep, dan sê, klim uit die boot uit. Hy het net vir Petrus geroep, hy het allemaal geroep, maar Petrus het uitgespring. En die Here roep jou, vanaand specifiek. Sê net vir hom ja, al weet jy nie wat dit beteken nie. I want the band to come up as we're going to worship God and we're going to pray for each other. And we're going to trust God for God's voice to be released. But more than that, just a new hunger and a thirst for His presence. And as we're going to do that, we're going to just open up our hearts and say to God, God, we're not going to try to assume anything or try to do anything. We don't psych up God or try to do stuff, but you know what? People out there are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. You and I never steal of God's worship. Man has not been made to worship. We've not been made to be worshipped. There's only one worthy to be worshipped. There's only one worthy. And one day we're going to stand in front of Him. And He's going to make us new. He's going to change you. He's going to transform you. Do you know what He's starting tonight? There's some of us here tonight, the Lord showed me that this is your life. You've been carrying this beautiful vase. Beautiful. In that stage, it slipped, it fell out of your hands. Fell onto the ground. Shattered. Pieces all over the place. Lying all under the chairs, under the tables, all of that stuff. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to gather these pieces. Frantically. And when people out there look at you, they think, well, everything is right, everything is in place, everything is that. And all you're trying to do is you're just trying to get everything. You're trying to just hold yourself together. And you put the piece and you say, where does this fit? And it's too small and it's too... And then you put another and you hold it close to you and you just say, well, people don't see what's actually happening in my heart. Jesus is looking at you tonight. The Holy Spirit is here. He's not going to pick up the pieces. He says, leave that. I make all things new. God is into the business of making things new. New creation. He doesn't patch us up. He makes us new. He makes us whole. So that you and I, when we stand before Him one day, God is going to say, my trophy. Yolandi, my trophy. You're my trophy. God is going to brag with His work of restoration because it's not going to be a little vase. It's going to be a massive container, gold container, full of the glory of God. God is going to say, look, world, on the day of judgment, look, I didn't just heal. I just didn't patch up. I came to restore. I came to give 100-fold back. What has been there for destruction, I've come to make whole, heal and restore, 100-fold back. And all you need to do tonight is just let go. Just say, okay, God, I've been trying too much. And I've been struggling, God, because I know I need your healing, but God, I know I need a bit of an operation, but I'm just so scared, Lord. What if I go under, Lord, under that narcosis, God, and then I'm not going to get up again? Can I really trust you? But he's here tonight, the healer. And he's gentle. The Holy Spirit is here. You can feel him in this place. You can feel his peace coming into this place right now. Just breaking chains over people's lives. Just setting us free. And all you need to do is just acknowledge him right where you're sitting. Just open up your heart. Bring your brokenness. Bring your tiredness. Bring your frustration. Bring it and say, God, I don't want a secondhand job. I want to be a new creation. I want to know you. I want your manifest presence in my life. I want to surrender to that place where you come in, you walk into my life, and you make all things new. You say, this is it. I've made you as a trophy of my glory. If you need healing tonight, you know I'm speaking to you specifically. I don't want to embarrass you. But I want you to take somebody's hand next to you and say, I need to be in front. I need to be just somebody that can carry me there, somebody that can take me there, somebody that can just pray a prayer with me. I don't want you to come alone. I want you to come with one of your friends. Take their hands. And it's going to be a bit difficult for you to get to the front, but you just come. We're all going to stand together. And if you need salvation tonight, if you need to be saved, you need a living relationship with that Jesus, then you must be in front as well. Because he's inviting you. Say, come. All who are weary, all who are heavy laden. The church is not for the healthy. The church is not for the whole. The church is not for the perfect. The church is for the broken, for the lost, for the destitute, for those who cannot help themselves. Why? Because otherwise we don't need a Savior. Otherwise you can carry on in your life out there. You can go and change your world and build your own kingdom and do your own stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm here because I need Jesus. I'm under construction. I want you to come quickly. But take somebody's hand. You just stand right in front because we're going to just worship God together. And I want us to be very reverent in worship because Jesus is healing people. Even as they're going to walk up, some of you from those chairs, as you're going to walk, I call it the walk of freedom tonight. He's going to do something in your heart that's going to transform you, but it's only he that can do that. Not a nice prayer, it's not a little salvation, it's not all. He's the gentle healer. He only heals upon invitation. Some people are coming and we're going to just sing a gentle worship song. Can we just sing that as people are going to come?